A groundbreaking new book reveals a disturbing link hiding in plain sight. The global networks that exploit wildlife often fuel human trafficking as well. Through firsthand rescue missions and investigative storytelling, animal advocate and author Leslie Siegel uncovers how the fight to save animals could also actually help save human lives. And we have the opportunity to speak with Leslie this morning here on the show. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us on WICC. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
I want to first talk about you a little bit. And before we get to this link, kind of how we even got there. So you're an animal advocate. Do you have pets?
I have pets. I have 5 pigs and 2 dogs and a cat.
Okay, I did not. That was not on my bingo card. I did not think you'd start off with that. You have 5 pigs?
Yes.
That's awesome. I love that. My mother has a pig. She loves Gertie the pig.
Yes.
They're awesome. They're awesome.
They're awesome.
That's amazing. So you've had a lifelong love for animals. I mean, talk a little bit about this. This was obviously part of your mission even when you were a child.
Yes. When I was younger, as far back as I can remember, I started with gerbils, fish. I remember when a bird was sick, I was walking around saying, birdie, birdie, birdie. And then after that, I went on to, I had a ferret named Funky. Then when I was working at animal hospitals and animal shelters, I came across dogs. So I started getting dogs, fostering and adopting out cats and dogs. Then came rabbits and then pigs.
Wow.
And then in my 30s, I realized that besides helping domestic animals, I could make a difference with wildlife animals like skunks, tigers, chimpanzees, rhinos, and connecting the various wildlife sanctuaries and organizations around the world.
So when did you realize you could make an impact on wildlife conservation?
As I got older and learned more and more, and I realized I could start looking into investigative legislation that protected animals. One of them that was successful was the Big Cat Public Safety Act.
Yes.
Yes, that was amazing.
So you must have hated Tiger King.
Oh, I hated it, but yeah. I hated it.
Well, you love the exposure to me, here's why I liked it, Leslie, to your point. To me, it was such a brilliant investigative way of showing the world what was really going on. I don't think in any way, I mean, granted, I think the people who made the documentary, they knew that. I think the people in the documentary had no idea what that was going to expose. That's why I liked it, because all of a sudden this became very well known. I can remember when that came out during COVID, and I actually talked to Senator Blumenthal here in Connecticut about the Big Cat Public Safety Act. And this became such a big deal nationally because of that documentary, I felt like. Well, and obviously advocacy work around it. But yeah, that's why I liked it, was because all of a sudden people realized, oh, wait, this is a reality in America.
Exactly. But the thing is, when I first watched it, maybe other people, I didn't put the connection. It was just an entertaining show. It wasn't until after the fact, this movie, The Conservation Game, came out. And I connected myself with that group of people. And the attorney from there is actually the one that put Joe Exotic in jail. And that's when I learned about cub petting, and they steal the cubs from the mothers when they're young. And then when they get older, who knows what they do with them, kill them or sell them or. Speaking of Tiger King, I think it was Jeff Lowe bringing the cubs up to hotel rooms in a suitcase. And then there were girls in the hotel rooms, and I believe they were probably trafficked also.
Wow. So then let's kind of go to that, because I think that is so fascinating. Again, Leslie Siegel's here, who is an author and really kind of dives into this link of, like you just mentioned there, when you're talking about animal, uncovering kind of saving animals, it could actually save human lives as well. This connection to exploit wildlife leading to human trafficking cases. How did you make that connection?
Actually, in 2020, I watched a documentary called Wild Days, and I learned so much. And one of the things was that this woman said It's the people, like the organized criminal networks, syndicates, who have the capacity to move illegal products, products such as humans, wildlife, weapons, drugs, through the global transport system. And it affects our national, international security, economy, and health. Yep. And wildlife is a low-risk, high-value product, you should say.
Well, it's interesting that you bring this up, Leslie, because here in Connecticut, over the last couple of years, there's been... It's actually very parallel to exactly what you're talking about. So they've been highlighting the link here in Connecticut between animal cruelty cases and child abuse cases.
Yes.
And so it's very parallel to what you're kind of talking about, obviously on a more national, even global scale. But if you think about something here in Connecticut that we've really been harping on, which is the link, if you find animal cruelty cases, you're going to also likely find that there's abuse in the home or that kids are also potentially suffering from child abuse. That's kind of what you're highlighting in your new book, The Animals Who Rescue Me, right? This kind of, you know, well, obviously interesting animal adventures, but, you know, again, that link between the two.
That's funny you say that, because there is a section about animal cruelty and interpersonal violence.
Oh, really?
And, in my book, yes. And it's been shown that people that start out abusing animals become serial killers. And also the children are exposed to it, and also they exploit the elderly, the abusers. And part of the abuse is, you know, they'll use their pet as a way to control them. But there is a section on that, and it's highly connected. And they use the pet as a weapon against the victim.
Wow, that's crazy. So, Leslie, the other thing in here, though, is you do talk about some rescue missions. Could you highlight some of them? Give us a little preview.
Oh, sure. Two of my favorites. The team I was with, we rescued a chimpanzee from private ownership. That was absolutely amazing because it wasn't a dog that you could just rescue, and it was an exotic animal. And we were able to home it in a true sanctuary. And a true sanctuary is they don't breed, buy, or sell, allow public touching, or any type of exploitation. They don't take them off property for education. So that's what a true sanctuary is. And this is where the chimp is now at. That was one. And then the second one was, I was in Africa, and I was with a group called Rhino 911. And the professionals, the veterinarians and the other professionals, went up in a helicopter, and they would dart rhinos one at a time. Once the rhino was on the ground and sedated and safe to approach, people, the volunteers and me and other people could approach the rhino, and we were hands-on assisting the veterinarians.
Wow.
I gave injections. Yeah, it was amazing. Rhino injections, and I didn't even bend a needle. I'm very proud of that. Because rhino skin is very, very tough.
Yeah.
The main and then I held the leg up while the veterinarian took blood from the lower leg. And then when they were going to give them the anti-sedative, we had to position their legs in a way so that when they stood up, they wouldn't crush themselves. And the whole main purpose for this sedating the rhinos was to saw off their horn, because their horn is worth thousands of dollars.
Right.
So if their horn, yes. So if their horn isn't there, they lose monetary value. And because there's a big myth, and it's been proven it's a myth, that horns can provide magical powers, medicinal powers. And the other thing is, in certain countries, usually part of the Asian countries, if I have a rhino horn on my desk or, you know, showing, it shows a status symbol or wealth. And the rhino horn is simply made of keratin. So in my opinion, you can just chew your fingernails and get the same magical power. So it's just keratin.
Wow.
And you know, this is a little off, but there's also an animal called a pangolin. And a pangolin is the most trafficked animal in the world. They look like a little anteater, and their scales are made of keratin. But those two are trafficked. They're the most trafficked, and because of their scales, and also it's to show status. Look what I'm eating, because I'll eat them also. Look what I'm eating, a pangolin. And those are going to extinct also, and their pangolins are shy, curious animals. They're like small anteaters.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the connection between keratin, yes.
I think that's so neat. But I think, you know, first of all, obviously your stories and your perspective is incredible, Leslie, and I so appreciate you making it into a book. But I also love that you go a step further, you know, not just obviously outlining the issue of poaching or, you know, animal advocacy and just your own missions that you've seen, but then having people understand this relationship between people, animals, and just the natural world. Again, the book is called The Animals Who Rescue Me, and it is available right now through major booksellers. It's online, and we'll put a link on our website, voiceofct.com, if people want to purchase the book. Leslie Siegel, I just want to just thank you again for what you do and for creating this. I look forward to reading it myself, but again, for people at home who want to order it, I will put a link on our website, voiceofct.com. And Leslie, I thank you again for the work that you did and for sharing all the details here on WICC. It's really fascinating.